And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
This one goes out to the ones in need. This one goes out to the sinner and the cynical. This ain't about no apology. This
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you for making us part of your Monday. What's going on over there, Ben?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, man, just recovering from a weekend of basketball.
You
just
watch a lot of NIT?
Just an onslaught of...
You've been eating the tape?
...of basketball. No, no, I did not watch any NIT.
You didn't even watch Utah?
No.
Oh. Well, they won.
I know.
They're hosting another game.
Happy for them.
Yeah. And they're hosting, so they're going to win.
And they're playing Utah State's old guy, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Odom? And
so
Virginia Commonwealth?
The VCU Volunteer Cavalier Mountaineers.
The Shakas.
Shakas, yeah. That's what I said.
Because he made them famous, I suppose. Yeah, no, why are we starting talking about the NIT?
Right. Brother, it's the only team that's still dancing next to the Utah women. That's why we're talking about NIT basketball.
Okay.
Play the hits.
I'm in like third of our whole bracket challenge.
How am I doing?
Thing on, I think anyway. I don't know. I still can't read this thing. It's incredibly confusing.
Way to sell it.
But I have 98 total points. The leaders have 100, and then I'd be tied with somebody else at 90.
So you're right there.
Somehow.
Let's hope Tennessee keeps on cranking.
They made me sweat a little bit.
Leaders.
But they still made it happen. Auburn really killed me. Thanks a lot, Auburn. I should have known better than to bet on a Bruce Pearl team. Man, all these college coaches are just something else. It's so funny watching the tournament and watching all these lunatics who coach college basketball. But yeah, Ben, so I lost Final Four team, but I've still got North Carolina, Houston, and Tennessee, so I've still got 3 out of 4.
Look at you.
Have you lost a Final Four team yet?
I don't believe so.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm in good shape.
You've got UConn and Creighton. Who are your other two?
North Carolina and Houston.
Oh, yeah. You went heavy number one seeds.
Well, they're good. UConn is obviously going to win this thing.
Obviously?
I think the drama has gone out.
We're starting with.
Have you seen how good UConn is? They're up 44-18 at the half. I know it's only their first two games, but that's been every game this season. That's just how they play.
Didn't you watch Purdue just beat the pants off of Utah State?
Well, yeah, and Purdue is up and down. But Purdue is very good.
Duke hammered, James Madison?
Yes, they did.
There was a lot of one-sided games yesterday. The Saturday was filled with overtime games and all sorts of close ones. Yesterday, it felt like there were a lot of beatings.
It's been pretty feast or famine, right?
Yeah.
It's
either incredible.
Overtime or it's 40 at the half.
30-point drubbing.
Wow.
And the other team can only score 12 points. Yeah. But how are you doing in the tourney, Sarah? How many total points do you have? Don't shake your head.
I don't want to talk about it.
This is a radio show.
I lost one of my Final Four, so that can tell you something.
Yeah, I did too.
Well, Florida, really.
Losing in the round of 64.
I had Florida winning.
Yeah, you had them in the Final Four.
Yeah,
they got eliminated in the first round.
Well, that's my bias. I didn't really think they'd make it there, but I hoped.
I had the Gators to the Elite Eight.
Good for you, tied for second.
How many total points, Sarah? We'll get to Ben because I think Ben's doing well too.
I think like 25.
No, 25. You're in the 80s, I'm sure. So there's two people, Chandler and Seabass. Shout out to Seabass. I don't know who that is, and I wonder if Chandler's our Chandler that we work with, who I do the podcast with, have 100. You're at 94?
98.
So you're right there in second. You're one game off.
I did have NC State to the Sweet 16.
It was a win. Now, remember, you also have to go back and pick the 16-team bracket. You kind of have to keep filling these out.
What do you mean?
This is not a bracket you just sit back and relax on. You can, but you go back and you update your picks to keep getting points.
You can do that?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I'm not going to, I don't want to harsh on our own contest, but that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's what a lot of teams, that's what a lot of things do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Ben, I've been filling out brackets since I was 10, and I've never participated in one like that.
Oh, well, welcome to the real world.
Sarah, have you ever done one like that?
No, but I don't normally participate in brackets.
In the 16-team bracket, which you can go to kslsports.com if you signed up, you'll see your full bracket. Then you click on the tab right next to it. It says 16-team. And then you can go and you can make your picks again.
Wow.
So.
All right.
Let's see. How many of my Elite Eight teams do I not have? I think I'm still doing okay. New Mexico. Why did I have New Mexico going so far? What? Oh, that's even a Sweet 16 team. I think all my Elite Eight teams are still alive.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you'll slingshot past me, I'm sure. Although, you know, like most of these things, if you don't pick the winner.
It's hard to win. Well, I did. I picked UConn. I already won.
So. Hard to win. But no, but that's the problem with picking the favorite, is half the other teams in the bracket picked UConn. So you'll still probably finish 30th, even if you do pick the winner.
We'll see. We'll see if Creighton gets there. Had a squeaked past Oregon in a
Yikes.
Very, in a very
yeah, I
good
was very
double
stressed.
Double OT game.
Yikes.
That was a great game. Shout out to Oregon, man. They figure it out.
Well, listen, and here's where we'll ultimately start. Shout out to Utah State ultimately, because they balled against TCU.
Yes, they did. They cooked them.
They got their first win in a long time in the NCAA tournament since, what was it? 90-something, 90, we have to go back and look.
Hey, we got some breaking news. Can I interrupt you real quick?
Oh, yeah.
From Jeff Goodman, breaking, Washington is hiring Utah State's Danny Sprinkle.
Right on.
Already came out.
Yeah, well, that happened a while ago.
Yeah, that's been in the, it's been in the books for a while.
I mean, not, you know, we're not breaking news here, but I think he may have basically taken that job
in,
a while ago.
What, January?
A while ago.
Christmas?
That's the least surprising breaking news in history. And you know what? Good for him. Whatever.
Good for him. Unfortunate for Utah State that they continue to be the springboard. But shout out to everyone who is continuing to make great hires up at Utah State.
Yeah, but that, you know what? We can jump into this in the ultimate coaching landscape. But that means you're winning. Your coaches, I mean, would you rather have to fire a coach every 2 years because you're
right.
Just a dog program? I mean, given the alternative, then you say so long there, coach. Much luck to you, and we'll do it again, because that's just life in a weird way. As any college program, by the way, not named in basketball, what, Kentucky, Duke,
yeah,
and Kansas,
right.
Then you're going to be a springboard in some way, shape, or form.
I'll be curious if what players follow him to Washington.
Well,
because
can,
I would suspect both BYU and Utah would be on the phone with some of these kids.
Can Osabor transfer again?
I don't know. He transferred from Montana State already, yeah. Right? He followed Sprinkle.
So has he graduated?
He's only a junior, right?
Right, but if he's graduated, then he can go wherever
he
can go wherever he wants. But I don't know. If he hasn't graduated, he probably can cram a bunch of hours into the next semester. I'm taking 30 credits.
False Lev will be a very big name in the transfer portal if he hits it.
But Utah State, let's, you know, they beat TCU. They deserve a bunch of credit.
Absolutely.
I felt so bad for them and the way that they lost against Purdue. I made myself watch it, and I say make myself watch it because I was texting with a buddy, and I was like, this is so hard to watch.
What was it,
this
like 22-20? So they kind of hung around for 10 minutes.
Hard to watch. And then Purdue poured it on them at the end of the first half and then just...
And kept going.
I mean, at the beginning of the second half, they poured it on them, and it had to be a really hard way for it to end for Utah State, because they are a better team than that. And shout out to Purdue. They're great, I guess. But... Man, to just get pantsed on national TV is the worst.
Can I give you a hot take that people really aren't going to like because it's the narrative? The Zach Edey fouls had nothing to do with it.
Oh, you lose like that, you can't complain about refs. That's a rule.
Also,
like, I don't want to hear it.
Guys, like, there may have been a couple early. They hacked Zach Edey every time he touched
they
the ball.
They should hack. Like, that's the only way you should play a guy like that. You should foul him all of the time.
The problem is he shoots 75% from the free throw line.
Yeah, well. Like,
he's extraordinarily skilled.
He'll shoot below 50 with a broken rib. I mean,
if you want to hurt him.
That's how you should play that
dive
guy.
Dive into his knees.
Okay, Kelly Olynyk. All right, Klinik. Go roll him up. That's not what I'm saying, but you got to play that guy like that.
Yeah.
And you know what? The refs, these referees are so terrible. Don't make me but they assume that he's going to get fouled, so they blow the whistle, which happens with bigs in college at all levels. I'm not just talking about that game. It's so annoying because they're so terrible that they just assume, well, the best way to stop this guy is by breaking his rib. So I'm going to blow the whistle, just assuming that it's going to happen.
I'm
going to
give you an even hotter take that people are really going to hate. He should probably go to the free throw line more than he does.
No, stop it.
He gets fouled on every single possession because he is 7'4". He is 300 pounds, and nobody can stop him. He is one of the most dominant basketball players we've seen in a very long time. He is a great college player.
I thought Asabor had a chance to put him in the blender because he can't move laterally.
And he beat him maybe twice off the dribble, which is a real credit to Zach Edey.
And that didn't happen.
He maybe beat him twice. One of them was a foul. he hooked him. But, yeah, they struggled. They had no answer for
regardless.
That.
Utah State shouldn't have lost that game like that. Never. They're much better team than that.
It's sad
too
that
bad
that's the way they
that
went
that's out. How it ended
because they were better than
that. Was not a good representation. And the game that the most eyeballs saw Utah State play this year, they got humiliated. I mean, that if I would have changed the channel. I was so uncomfortable if I didn't feel somewhat obligated to watch it. I told my kids to turn away.
Daddy doesn't want you to see this.
Stop. We don't watch this. Go do something else.
This is from Matt Norlander, who is a writer for Sports Illustrated. He says, bit of a curveball. Toledo coach Todd Kowalczyk is expected to be firmly in the mix for Utah State's list to replace Danny Sprinkle. Kowalczyk has won the regular season in the MAC the past four seasons. So, might already be some names in the hopper to go over and take the job at Utah State.
This is going to be Sabo's first big hire, right?
Yes.
So kind of got to knock this one out of the park. No pressure. You had to see it coming.
Can I tell you why I like this Todd Kowalczyk, who I'm just hearing about for the first time?
Sure.
He's 57 years old.
Oh, I think they need an old guy for sure. Yeah, it's funny you say that.
The young guy who's going to get the next job. If he's going to win there and he's won at Toledo, which... You know, Toledo has been a fun basketball team to watch, actually, for a while. They do win games. And the MAC is kind of an interesting conference. Yeah, go get a 57-year-old who's going to double his salary at Utah State compared to what he makes at Toledo and stay there for 6 years.
You know the first name that came to my mind, which is he's unhirable. So it's not realistic. But
Juwan Howard.
No.
Oh.
Bob Huggins.
Yeah, you can't hire him.
No, you can't. No, he's too toxic. But, like, the old man that might be kind of damaged goods and has been the chaser of prominence in the past and kind of spit out the other end and is just looking to live that sweet mountain life in Logan and coach at a place that you can win. So, again, yeah, you can't hire Bob Huggins. I mean, that guy is a mess in so many different ways. But you know what I'm saying? I'm with you. Go with an older guy who's not who's not climbing the ladder necessarily, but knows how to win. There's guys like Stu Morrill out there.
Of course. There are good coaches who know what they're doing, who probably either just sent their kids to college or their kids are graduates. They're not like going to be bouncing around a whole lot, but are okay settling somewhere.
Listen, Randy Ray stayed at Weber forever. You know why? Because he was pretty sweet.
Pretty good.
He was loving it. Loving that East Ogden life, man.
Good for Randy Ray.
Living the dream. And now he's retired, I think.
Disappeared.
He made enough money coaching in a place he loved to coach, had a ton of success. I believe he bought a spot somewhere in South Carolina, like Hilton Head or something like that, and is just golfing.
Yep. Disappeared.
Like, you can find coaches that aren't psycho ambitious, and not that Danny Sprinkle is a psycho, but Danny has eyes set on bigger things.
Say it. Psycho Danny. Psycho Sprinkle.
I think Odom left for different reasons. We could talk to Scotty about this.
Well, we know why. He wanted to be on the East Coast.
Right.
He did not want to be in
his
West.
Roots weren't here, which made it a weird hire to begin with.
It worked, but yeah.
But Craig didn't really have roots here either. and had success and took another job here locally. So, I mean, it's there's more than one way to skin a cat, which, again, is such a weird saying. But here's the thing. I'm with you, Ben, because if there's one thing all these guys have proven, even going back to Stu, you can win at Utah State in basketball.
No
you
question.
Can win there. You can get players there. You have the support there. Now, they don't have many, and I heard this was an issue maybe with the last couple of coaches. They've got like one big donor.
Yeah.
Whereas Washington's got 30 big donors. And I have to, you know, when we're saying big donors, we mean like
seven-figure donors.
Like big donors.
Yeah, Washington does. And it's a basketball city.
Right.
Seattle.
You know, BYU's got a bunch of big donors. Utah's probably got fewer than BYU, but more than one truly big donor.
Let's you and I organize an NIL for Utah State. We'll call it the Cash Cow, but we're going to spell cash, C-A-C-H-E.
I don't see, but I don't think they need it, which actually makes it...
the Cash Cows.
Yeah.
You can be a part of the Cash Cows.
I mean, they need
you
it.
You and I get a cut of the NIL. Obvious.
Well, yeah,
obviously.
We're carving 10 points off for us.
Yeah, right.
What are we doing here? I mean, what do you think? Kendrick Perkins is doing that thing for free?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't actually think they... You need NIL, obviously, but it's not like Utah State has made hay getting the creme de la creme of NBA guys. That's not really where they've been successful. They've had a couple. Merrill and Kata. Is Nimi still in the league?
He is. He's in Boston.
So they've had a couple. I don't want to sell them short. But you go back to J.C. Carroll and Spencer Nelson and those teams. Those weren't NBA players necessarily. They get skilled players that they can recruit there that might be damaged goods or overlooked or whatever for whatever reason. They support the crap out of them. And they win a lot of games. And they play at 20,000 feet. So every team they play is out of gas.
These guys are terrible in the second half.
It's 5 degrees outside.
Yeah.
It's a three-hour bus ride or whatever
yeah,
it is
to get there
from the airport. It's actually kind of a swinging college campus, believe it or not.
Town. Yeah, it's a very cool college town.
And you don't have to recruit. Here's the thing that why I think Utah State should lean into basketball and not football is you have to recruit 80 guys in football.
Yeah.
You have to recruit 15 dudes in basketball. And if you grow up playing basketball and really have a shot to play college, you're going to play in the middle of nowhere. That's the reality. I mean, football players get recruited. There's so many players on teams. You know, odds are you're going to have a little bit more of a choice where you're going to play. But talk to talk to Thurl's kids, right? I bet they all grew up thinking like, well, I'll probably play at three different colleges, but odds are I'm going to play in the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just reality. But in Logan, I think you can recruit 15 dudes and coach them up. It's a good place to coach and live because, I mean, just ask Stu. He was the mayor of that darn town forever. Most popular, he doesn't buy a Diet Coke in town in Logan. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I'm with you. I'm glad you pointed that out. Go with an older, more established guy who's not really in the mood to go anywhere. I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to stay.
I'll be curious to see how this goes. Scotty, who's our Utah State insider.
Well, yeah, the voice of the Aggies.
Whoa. Don't burn his sources. Shut up. Come on. Don't get him in trouble. He says he thinks they're going to fill this job pretty quickly.
Oh, I'm sure. They've known it's coming forever.
Sources tell us. He said it on Twitter, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, if they somehow, could you imagine if Saba, what her first name is? Excuse me, because I practiced her last name so much, I remember Diana.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right, Diana Sabo. Can you imagine if she came out in her press conference is like, we were just blindsided.
We couldn't believe this.
We couldn't believe it.
This scab.
I was surprised. Everybody was so surprised when Urban Meyer left Utah. You remember that? I mean, I was young in the business. You weren't quite in the business yet, Ben. But everybody you talked to just felt
everyone knew it was going, yeah.
So betrayed yeah. by Urban Meyer. Like, how dare he? I can't believe it. Like, even Spence Eccles, who donated all that money. You remember that?
Uncle Spence?
That Urban legend, Ben, that Urban had assured him he's not going anywhere if he just built a practice facility. And he did that and felt betrayed. I was there at the press conference. I watched in the background. Spence was talking angrily. Not angrily. That, I don't know if that man is capable of getting angry. But was having a serious conversation with Chris Hill I guess it was the press conference before the Fiesta Bowl. Anyway, point being.
Yeah. He felt blindsided.
Everybody was blindsided. And it was like, what are you talking about? We tracked Notre Dame's plane at the airport. Right. What do you mean you're blindsided?
Right.
Maybe the worst kept secret in local coaching news recently, Danny Sprinkle going to Washington. I think Scotty came in at Christmas and was like, hey, guys, I got some news for you.
Yeah.
Hey, happy holidays, first of all.
Danny's in Washington.
He's going to, he's moved.
Danny's wearing Seattle gear everywhere.
I saw the U-Haul.
But good for him. He had a hell of a year and is one of the great stories of the season. Made college basketball really fun locally. And again, we still have a couple of teams playing, one in the NIT and the Utah women's basketball team. Had a nice win over the weekend and back at it.
Andrew says there are new transfer rules anymore. They can transfer without having to graduate. I don't think so. I think you get one freebie. It's just one freebie. Did they ditch transfer rules overall? I don't think so.
I didn't think so either because you have run into that before with football players.
Are we really behind on the times? I think there's only one freebie. That was the...
Until you graduate.
Until you graduate, and then you can go wherever.
I agree with you.
And listen, you supplement... with enough online classes, and you can graduate in, like, I think one semester.
Multi-time football transfers will be eligible immediately in 2024.
Well, now that was the lawsuit, right? Because Utah and BYU got one of those guys, multi-time transfers. So maybe you're right, Andrew, actually come to think about it.
Oh, it says the injunction has allowed multi-time transfers currently there at their new schools to begin competing immediately in winter sports.
That's right. So it was an injunction. It was the middle of this season.
That's why Davon Smith was able to play, right?
Yeah. So you're right, Andrew. Corrections and retractions. Thank you for your input.
And then you know what's going to be really hard about this conversation for some of these guys? And look, I have no idea what type of guy Danny Sprinkle is other than everyone I've talked to who knows him says they like him. You go to Washington and transferring from Montana State to Utah State does not necessarily mean everyone who's at Utah State gets to transfer to Washington. You have a different group of kids.
Yeah, but Osagbor is the conference player of the year.
And
that
maybe
Osagbor
goes, Osagbor goes. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't expect him at Utah State next year.
And every team needs a false love. That guy could go wherever.
But there's usually at least one or two NBA players on every Washington roster, even when they're horrendous. They usually have a couple of guys because there are so many players in the city of Seattle that are NBA future guys. So I will be curious what type of talent he can get up there.
All right, stay tuned. Top three stories coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day. This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. I'm going to write a book about that period of my life. I think I could really come up with some entertaining stuff.
You should.
I can't write. I'm not
the waves.
It would be like a 3,000.
Jake Scott's autobiography on being on the radio in Utah for 20 plus years.
It'd be like a 3,000 word book, not because I'm that interesting, but because I'm that wordy.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't tell a story inside of like 75 pages.
That's fine. That's how you write books. Put in more words,
not books that people will read.
Yeah. You've read Hemingway. He's wordy.
Yeah, but somehow his books are still only 150 pages long.
Faulkner's wordy. Also short books.
Oh, I know that Faulkner's brilliant. I got it. But is there any more of a slog than his writing? I'd rather read Tolstoy.
Read the first 60 pages of Sound of the Fury. It's fury. No sound. It's all fury. It's the most difficult
fury
stretch of reading I've ever done. and Joyce. Impossible. Anyways.
You want to know the best reading? I know. But the best
reading. We're good, Sarah. We got time.
If you're ever going to read Lord of the Rings, I got the tip. Just skip all the songs. All the songs. Like half the book is songs. You can just skip them all. It doesn't like.
Sounds good to me.
Just power on through. Best advice I ever got is like, yeah, I could skip all of that.
I'm with you.
All right, time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Brought to you by Jay Brooks Jewelers. Two locations to serve you. One on Winchester Street across from Fashion Place Mall. The other at Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, the NCAA Tourney Sweet 16 begins tonight.
Let's see. Is it tonight? It's,
no,
it's Friday.
Thursday?
We're back on Thursday. Sorry, Sarah. Let me pull up here.
Go Wolfpack.
First, yeah, how about
first
that?
And foremost, excited about that. Thursday's games, so we can go through the Sweet 16. Here's Thursday. Clemson, Arizona, 6-seed Clemson, 2-seed Arizona, 5-seed San Diego State, 1-seed UConn. Man, San Diego State just bails the Mountain West right out of the fire every year, don't they? 4-seed Alabama, 1-seed North Carolina, and then the nightcap will be 3-seed Illinois, 2-seed Iowa State. Iowa State looks great, by the way.
Yes, they do. I did not have them going this far. We'll see if Illinois can take care of business. But how about that? Thursday, the lowest seed is a 6. I mean, this is not, obviously, if you're a 6, you're not going chalk, but that's mostly chalk.
I think the games on Friday are even better.
Okay. The lone double-digit seed remaining.
The early game will be NC State, the 11 seed, and 2 seed Marquette, which, man, I'm going to watch DJ Burns play basketball for as long as I possibly can.
I tell you what, though.
Love that dude.
We fell in love with Golkey, right, the kid from Oakland. This Collect kid from Marquette, who's going to be a borderline first-round pick, he is a basketball player. That kid can get it done.
I think 5-seed Gonzaga, 1-seed Purdue is going to be awesome. 4-seed Duke, 1-seed Houston. Duke just smashed James Madison. I mean, that should be a really good game. And then the nightcap is 3-seed Creighton and 2-seed Tennessee.
Great games. That's you and me in the title game. That's our title game,
yeah,
right there.
That's going to decide it.
I'm excited for Duke Houston. You're right, Gonzaga Purdue. I don't know if Zags have the size to go up against Zach Eady.
Gonzaga looked great.
Yes, they did.
In the first two rounds. They looked great. And can you believe it? How many? Oh, now I'm forgetting. It's like 12 years in a row in the Sweet 16 or something crazy for few. I should look that up.
It's 8 straight years, something like that. Oh, they haven't. Yeah.
Might even be more. That's wild.
But you know what I'm seeing? And I know this is cliche, but it's like, man, these are all old teams.
Yeah, that's a trend in that's proven out this tournament is that with the transfer portal, if you can be an old, experienced team, that makes a big difference.
Like UConn has a one-and-done kid. I'm looking at this, you know, I love the draft. There are not like loaded one and done top 10 players here. There's sophomores at UConn, but like, yeah, this is not go get the top recruit and expect to win right away. You don't. You can't win that way in college anymore, especially with the transfer portal.
That Friday is going to be something.
Great. Great.
Way better than Thursday.
It's been a good tournament. I've enjoyed it so far.
All right. What's next?
Number two, the Jazz losing streak continues.
This team's not fun.
No.
They're not having fun. Nobody's and look, you can have fun and lose. You can have fun and be young. The players don't seem like they're having fun. I don't know if the coaching staff is having fun. I know the fan base isn't having fun because I see it all over my timeline.
I don't know if anybody in any given circumstance would be having fun with this. Honestly, I get what you're saying.
Like the San Antonio Spurs are having a ton of fun. Like you can watch them.
See, I don't know if you're watching them every night, though.
We'll see them Wednesday night. Watch them. They're running the floor. The players are up and celebrating. Everyone's excited. Watch some of these young, bad teams. They're having more fun than the Jazz are.
The Jazz are trying to lose.
And
that signal was sent loud and clear. I don't think there's anything fun about that.
And the difference is at one point the Jazz were 26 and 26.
We're trying to win.
And are now the worst team in the NBA. They have been basically the worst team in the league since the trade deadline. I think only the Wizards have fewer wins. So they went from having at least some understanding of fun because they were winning every other game to they can't do anything. It's only young players playing. The veterans don't matter a whole lot. And I think that has really, really sucked the energy out of the roster.
Well, if I'm Will Hardy and Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck, you know, that brain trust, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I can't cut all of you, but I'd like to cut most of you because at least show some heart. And I don't want to be overly critical because they've been handed a crappy situation where the franchise doesn't have their back. They're not trying to win. It stinks. But to just surrender defensively every night.
Every night. It's crazy.
Just, I mean, they're the worst defense in the league by a mile. 27 three-pointers made by Houston is a high in the NBA
and
this
again,
season.
That comes on the heels of the Mavericks
where they
having
surrendered
18
the dunks.
It's just like, just take what you want.
Like,
yeah, that, it's awful.
That I think is the frustrating point. I don't know how much you want to put that on the coaches. I mean, because again, they've been handed this. The franchise sent the signal and said, "We're done trying to win." And I don't even think that was the bad move from the franchise. I mean, it's just difficult decisions have to be made. But Ben, I mean, the lame duck is a saying for a reason. I mean, it's just going through the motions to get this thing done, and you're not even trying to win.
I think they made the right choice. I do. I think they made the right choice trading Kelly Olynyk and Simone Fontecchio, and I still think there's work you have to do after that to try and keep the roster together, and I think they've let go of the rope too much. I think they lost it. Now, again, you hope it doesn't become toxic, and this kind of paints the way all these young players view of like what the NBA is supposed to be like, and that games don't matter that much, because next year I think you want these games to start mattering again. You hope that hasn't leaked in and infiltrated the team, but the whole team could be different next year.
Well, listen, I know everybody's in love with Keontae George, but if I'm making the evaluation on how good he can be as an NBA player, this would be not his best time.
His legs are gone.
If this is about...
Bryce Sensabaugh's legs are gone.
I got it, but you got to show some heart and get out there and guard. You can't be surrendering NBA records every night.
Yep.
If it is like, hey, if they've handed him the ball, which, I mean, you've talked about it. They've essentially done it.
They
and
did.
Said,
yep.
Let's see what you got. Well, some nice shooting nights, some nice numbers, but you can't let your team... And not that he has to go out there and all of a sudden turn into Gary Payton, but this is part of having the ball.
Absolutely.
Is that your team can't be, you don't have to be the best defensive team in the league, but you can't get humiliated every night. Like, that can't be a thing. You got to go out there and pour it on. And if that's fun, okay. Like if that's the missing element is you need to go have fun, if that makes you play better defense, then whatever. I don't know what it is, but I'd be eyeing this team very critically based on effort given. And again, that's not fair because they've told them to lose. Yep. So how much can you really, you know what I mean? Like,
and all their best players are sitting. If Lowry's not out, John Collins is out. Jordan Clarkson's been out for 10 games, it feels like. You know, it just doesn't, the veterans aren't even out there to win, and they traded away two of their other veterans. Again, I think that was the right call, but man, it's just been ugly, and it's going to get ugly tonight when you play against Luka Doncic once again.
Can you imagine if Nate came in here and told us to like do bad shows, and then when we did bad shows, then he'd be like, "Hey, why do you guys suck so much?"
Come on.
Be like, "Well, you told us to do. Yeah. You told us to be bad.
You said it would help us."
Well, I didn't think you'd be this bad. Wait, what?
Well, 11 games left. We'll see what they look like.
So I don't like all this criticism isn't fair, but it is a thing. I mean, like, I can't believe they're this bad defensively. It's really.
I agree with you.
It's all right. What's next?
Number 3, Utah women's hoops advances.
They beat South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits? 68-54 over the weekend. Alyssa Peely, 11 of 20 from the floor, 26 points, 7 rebounds. So a nice start there. And now they have to play Gonzaga in what is essentially a home game tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah. Excited for that. 8:30 ESPN2. Gonzaga is basically a pick 'em favorite, 1.5 points.
Well, is Peely good? It's going to come down to that.
Well, she is.
Is she on? Yeah. I mean, is she good tonight? Which she's good most nights. So that's why Utah's a good team.
Excited to see it. And if you advance here, go to the Sweet 16, play again next weekend, be very exciting. That's where they got to last year.
Yeah. Been trying to prop up Utah in the NIT at the beginning of the show. Hey, let's lead with this.
Yeah, we'll see if they cook.
All right. Stay tuned. More next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Shot through the heart, and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
Jake and Ben! 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone, the 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Man, I've always liked Kalani. So he's been good to me.
He knows you by name.
He does.
First and last. First and first.
I've told you the story. I accidentally texted him, I love you, right? Have I not told you that story?
You have not. I have Kalani's number.
I was producing in the afternoons, and he was coming on with us weekly when he was the defensive coordinator at Utah.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to text my now wife, then girlfriend. And one of those, I sent it to the wrong person.
Because their names aren't even close to
like,
similar.
It's
not like they were the same letter.
He was earlier in my chain or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a bozo move. I said, I love you.
It'd be funny if that was the first time you told your girlfriend you loved her.
No. And he texts back, I don't think this was meant for me, but thanks. Or something like that.
It was meant for you, coach. Well, I've told you, my father's name is Gary. And I've got two numbers in my phone for Gary Anderson, and you got to be a little bit careful about that.
Oh, yeah, that is. You do have to be careful.
So, one of them's an E-N, one of them's an O-N. But
about that. Want to remind you about, I've got a question for you about PR, Ben. You and I like to talk off the air all the time about people's public relations.
Oh, I thought you were talking about personal records.
Malfeasance.
We weightlifting?
But we do want to remind you about Win Ticket Wednesday. Your chance to win big every week on the Zone. This Wednesday, you can pick up a pair of tickets to go see A Day to Remember at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on July 21st. So listen all day on Wednesday for your chance to win. Did you catch Kim Mulkey's press conference over the weekend?
I didn't do anything. Don't trust the WAPO.
The women's basketball coach at LSU, who, went on this long screed hammering on apparently a story that's in the works at the Washington Post.
Going to break in the next couple of days.
I mean, she just did 2.5 minutes of yelling fake news, which is fine. But I was thinking about this from a PR standpoint. Now I just want to read the story.
Absolutely.
Now her doing that brought so much attention onto a story that hasn't even been written. Now I can't wait to read it. Isn't that a bad PR move? Let's say it is just a hatchet job full of fake news and libel. You basically just ensured that everybody on the planet's going to read it.
Well, here, look at what's trending on Twitter. What's the third thing trending on the right side there?
Kim Mulkey.
She made this worse. She added much fuel to this fire.
Let the story come out and then call it fake news. Don't do it before.
Maybe it's bad enough that she knows it's going to cost her job. And or whatever it's going to be that she doesn't feel like there's any reason not to just go after it now, because once it comes out, it's going to look so horrible for her that she's not going to be able to defend herself. So she might as well try and get out in front of it. But that's not even what she's doing. She's not being like, hey, I made some mistakes. This is what's going to come out. She's saying it's all wrong. And now everyone wants to disprove her because people don't like Kim Mulkey.
I love her fashion sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, she's not she doesn't have a real likable personality.
No.
But she's one of those kind of coaches that win, so you have to put up with it.
She's a winner.
But now I'm just dying to read that story. That was the best thing that ever happened to the Washington Post.
Yep, they're excited for it.
And you know what I don't get about this sort of thing from a PR standpoint, too? If really you knew that they were just completely inventing a hit piece on you, I would be like, this. I won't say anything about it even when it comes out, but this is my attorney. His name's Ben. He's going to be combing over every darn comma in that story, and I'm going to
sue
the pants off you.
Yep.
If indeed they're just making up a story, right? All right. Anyway, bad PR. Now everybody's just dying to read the story.
I'm looking forward to. I'm excited.
But you know what? Even that move is such an egomaniac thing to do, because the truth is no college basketball coach is big enough to dominate the news for more than a day.
Right.
let alone like a women's college coach, which women's basketball is less popular than the men,
sure.
even though I think their tournament is a terrific product right. and absolutely consumed it over the weekend. But she thinks that this news, whatever it is going to be the biggest news in the country forever, whereas the smart thing to do is just keep your head down, call it fake news when it comes out, and say, I got to move on to coach basketball, and then they're going to win
team.
In the Elite Eight, and then everybody's going to forget about it.
Yep.
Unless it's something truly horrible.
We'll see. But, yeah, we're all excited to find out.
But, I mean, how many college coaches? I brought Bob Huggins up
right.
in the last segment. What do you bet me he gets another job?
His might be hard.
I actually can tell you an athletic director that would hire him today. I'm not going to use the name on the air, but I could tell you. I'll tell you the person's name off the air. Which is terrible, right? But
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
My point. Is you could keep your head down. You could survive anything. Yeah. Bruce Pearl is still coaching today. He just lost in the first round.
Isn't there a rumor that Will Wade might hire him? Bob Huggins?
Is he coming Will Wade?
Yeah.
Well, Will Wade's a coach.
Right. He's going to hire Bob Huggins.
Oh, on his
to
staff?
To be an assistant. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, the funny thing is, you remember the sorry, Sarah, I know we're late. We've got Coach Lacombe coming up next, so I'll keep this short. But Dave Bliss, the head coach at Baylor that covered up a murder,
mm-hmm.
well, he was dimed out by his assistant coach. Dave Bliss got another job. Guess who didn't get another job? The assistant coach.
The rat.
Who broke the code.
Yep.
Horrible.
Yep.
But all Kim has to do is just ignore it, and somebody's going to hire you. You win national championships.
Right. Rick Pitino keeps getting hired. Juwan Howard will probably get another job.
Old Italian restaurant Pitino?
Just for a minute.
Romantic. It's a romance guy. There were candles probably somewhere. This lasagna, I tell you. Coach comes next. Stay tuned. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.